Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Conservative Input. Just wanted to we got a lot to talk about today. We got a lot to talk about. As you can see, we did update the overlay for the podcast, so now it is a more representative of us. But still, make sure you go check out The Conservative Input on Instagram and check out all of our Instagram accounts, and then also, look into PragerU. They're pretty cool. We're all PragerForce members, so
But
yeah, we'd love for you to join. And then
they're funded, but
we've
not endorsed.
also got a little bit of extra stuff to say. Okay, the Apple Podcasts. We are officially on Apple Podcasts, so and
Wow.
a majority of the other podcasting networks. So hey, yeah, that took way too much work. But yeah, if you go listen to us on any of the podcasting things, we'd very much appreciate a 5-star review, and make sure you share us with your friends too. That'd be
Yeah.
absolutely fantastic.
Yep. Another thing I'd say though, like, even though we are members of this group called PragerForce, we are not endorsed by them. This podcast group is not endorsed by PragerU or PragerForce. So
Yeah,
just wanted to put
from
that
the
out there.
very beginning, we haven't really been part of PragerForce. We're PragerForce members, but we were advertising for them up at the top, because it's something that we really thought people should try and join.
But
So
we are
yeah.
not endorsed by them, so
Yeah,
that's
not
what, so
endorsed.
it should not be taken as such. But yeah, we got
We're on
a
our own.
lot of things to talk about.
Very much so. The
Some
first
like,
thing is
yep.
something that's kind of out of nowhere. As many of you know, if you guys have watched previous episodes, I'm on Twitter a lot, and
Yep.
probably too much for my own good, but I get some funny tweets in every once in a while. So one of the big things that happened recently was, if you guys play any video games, or if you've watched movies like Lord of the Rings, or read any books that are fantasy-based, you'd know of these creatures called orcs. So orcs, they're real big, kind of brutish, green guys with tusks, and they're pretty cool. I think they're pretty cool anyways. We had someone post, I think, what's the fourth month? January, February, March, April. In April, a picture of an orc and saying, I mean, tell me there isn't some type of implicit racial coding to this. And I don't, Steven, do you know what that means?
Wow, that's a really good question. Implicit racial coding.
Implicit racial coding.
Actually, I haven't bothered to look this up.
I
Yeah.
doubt it'll pop up, that phrase exactly, but what they were trying to say is that orcs were modeled after people of African descent.
What
Yeah.
is
So,
this?
a
Come
lot of
on, man.
people flipped out about this, and rightfully so, because we see orcs and they really are these really big, buff, like monsters, essentially, and they're very prone to violence, and they're kind of hated in a lot of the universes that they inhabit. But not only is it so making this assumption about them is kind of racist, because you're making with the assumptions you have about orcs, making those assumptions or
Yeah.
assuming that they are supposed to represent black people.
Oh, yeah.
Is assuming that black people represent those characteristics, which, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily see black people as brutish and violent creatures,
Yeah. Well, I'm racist against orcs, so
You're racist
I'm
against
racist
orcs?
against orcs. I'm racist against Simpsons.
Against the Simpsons? All right, all right. But yeah, and there've been a whole bunch of people who have basically been calling this out, and how I'm going off on a nerd tangent, I guess. So orcs were originally designed like after Vikings and Germanic tribes. Little known fact. And yeah, many of the worlds they inhabit also have black people, so that makes no sense at all.
Yeah, I don't know why.
But yeah. Just a quick thing that I thought was funny that I figured I'd bring up. Other than
Wow.
that, we've got quite a bit more news. We've got information about the economy.
Oh, it's tanking down. The
Oh, it's going
economy is
terribly.
still tanking down.
We've got information with the Dems. We've got information with the CDC. So, Steven, the CDC says the vaccine does not prevent the transmission of COVID. It's official. The
Yeah,
vaccine
well.
doesn't work.
Well, then why are we pushing them? Why is New York and California still pushing
I don't know.
people to get the vaccine to get into the public places, even though it does not prevent transmission? Why are different countries still locked down and still requiring, people like us to get vaccinated before we enter? Like, first of all, most European countries require us Americans to get vaccinated before we come into those countries.
Yeah.
Even though, like you said, the CDC just said, like, the vaccination, to getting the vaccine will not prevent anything, not prevent transmission of the virus. Like, come on.
Yeah. And so the thing is it's not all countries. I think it was Norway. Was it Norway or Denmark that officially got rid of all COVID restrictions? Or was it both?
I think Denmark, I think yes, but Norway is getting really close to getting rid
Norway's
of
getting
all
really
the
close.
restrictions.
But
And
yeah.
then like but then France, Spain, and like the major European countries that a lot of Americans we sometimes mention a lot when we want to go to Europe, it's like they still like try to like restrict a lot of these stuff. It's like, no, they're still like, oh, you can't go. I think pretty much a lot of European countries, I think including Denmark, saying like if you're not vaccinated, you cannot come in. Or like they say like, oh, you have to like get tested in quarantine.
Yeah.
That's a real problem, I think, with CDC. I think people just like, I don't know, man. All I can say is their heads got played by the
Yeah.
media for real.
Well, and so you also see this going on with Australia too. It's not in Europe, but that's one of the things I thought about. And you
Yeah,
know,
Australia is a hermit kingdom.
I think we talked about this yesterday, or not
Yeah.
yesterday, last week.
Let's say
But
yes.
they're like requiring, vaccines, but even if you have the vaccine, you can still transmit COVID. You can still catch COVID. So, and they're not giving people tests. So they're
If
not
they're
doing
locking people
anything.
down.
They're basically just saying, all right, here, they're basically asking for an ID, is what it is. Yeah. Funny thing is, though, you don't have to have the vaccine for, if you're in Senate.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro.
Rules
No,
for
that's
thee,
the
but
thing.
not for me.
Well, the government elites, they don't care about us.
Yep.
Everybody here watching, if anyone tries to tell you the government cares about you, don't listen to them. That's the dangerous, some of the most dangerous words you can hear is the government will care for you.
Yeah, they're lying to you.
It's lies.
It's all
And also
lies.
even like the economy, in regards to this whole like, economy, I think Jen Psaki, her mind's not computing well with when it comes to these simple mathematics of like the money.
Yeah, it's and it's not just Kamisaki. We see a lot of the Dems, not really realizing it either. So, so apparently after people start complaining about the $3.5 trillion price tag on this new infrastructure bill, the Biden administration says, "But wait, no. It's going to be $0. $3.5 trillion." They're like, it's already paid for. I'm like, how is it already paid for? We are in the hole. Hey Siri, what is the US national debt?
Oh,
Okay,
yeah.
I guess Siri doesn't want to listen to me. Hey Siri, what is the US national debt?
The national debt of the United States is the total national debt owed by the federal government of the United States to Treasury security holders. Should I keep going?
Okay, Siri. I guess I'm gonna have to look it up separately. But yeah, so we're in the hole a good amount of money over here in the great US of A. US national debt counter. Let's look that up. National debt clock. All right, while that's loading. So, as of right now, what are we looking at? Oh. They've got an app. Hold on, let's see. Oh, it's a dollar. No, thank you. Is how it should have gone.
Honestly, what is this going on? And we all knew what was this going on. It's like, can we
Okay.
just get rid of the insanity that's going? Why don't we just lift up all restrictions right away? Since the vaccine doesn't work, despite everybody keeps saying oh, we want the vaccine, it'll work, la 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 la. Just lift it off already.
Okay, so our national debt is 28 trillion dollars. That's $86,000 per citizen, $228,000 per taxpayer. Per our GDP, it is 125.91% of our GDP. Federal tax revenue is only $3 trillion, 11,000 per citizen. So, yeah, that's a really big problem. That's a really big problem. But yeah, so $3.5 trillion isn't just going to appear out of nowhere. That's money that we need to pay. And I guarantee you it'll come out of taxes. We're going to see taxes rise, even though they said from the beginning, oh, your taxes won't rise if you make under a certain amount, blah blah blah. We will. It's definitely going to happen. But that's not the biggest thing. So as people are talking about the taxes rising, because taxes have been going up, at a press briefing, somebody asked Kamisaki, Saki, by the way, if any Jen Saki, if anybody doesn't already know my lingo, what about people ri raising prices on goods because of the rise in taxes? And she was like, that would be not right. That would be morally wrong. And I'm like,
What?
do you not know how the economy works? Like, Jen, this is how it's been working for literally the beginning of time. Taxes go
Wow.
up. Companies have to pay more in taxes. They need to up their prices so they can afford to pay taxes, pay their employees, invest in the business again, and make a profit at the same time. They're like, oh, why do they need to make such a big profit? Nobody's gonna want a business if they don't make a profit. I hate to break it to y'all, but that's
Yeah.
just how it works.
I just don't get why we have to just listen to Biden's administration. I don't can people not get rid of this insanity that's going on? Why did you elect this? Why did you have to put her here even though she might be ineffective? All because you just got played.
Yeah. And I think you actually sent something about it, Stephen. They was it the approval rating or the eye-opening poll shows more than 40% of Biden voters.
Yep,
What was it?
exactly. I wanted to talk about this. There were now they're now like you know there's
Oh,
like a poll
agrees
saying
tend to
that
split
like
the country.
yeah now they're
Oh.
saying now there's a poll of saying like majority of voters now think that Trump was better than Biden.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I'm
I
just
was looking at the wrong one.
when I looked at the poll of like oh Trump when the majority of voters think that Trump was way better than Biden, I was like it's almost like we try to tell you this. But
Yeah.
you wouldn't listen because the media freaking played your damn minds like a fiddle. The media played with your freaking minds, you freaking moronic idiots.
Yeah. And see, the
Not to
biggest
offend anyone here. Sorry about that.
and the biggest issue is I guarantee the main reason, 'cause I've talked to people about this, people I work with, every single person I've worked with that does not like Trump, I've asked them why. They said, oh, I don't like the way he treats the media or something. And then I showed them video after video of the media constantly berating him and asking him questions like, are you going to condemn white supremacy? And he's like, I already have this many times. I'll do it again. And then, the next press briefing, are you going to condemn white supremacy? Or they'd ask, what's her name? Kayleigh McEnany?
Kelly McEnany.
Yeah. They'd ask her, is Trump going to condemn white supremacy? She's like, he has this many
Oh my
times.
God. Yeah, it's like they
And
don't even get it.
it's because
What
here's the
would you
thing.
say, like,
And
how
here's
many
the
times
thing.
can you?
That
Well.
what they do is they do it every single time. They'll take his speech, cut it into a couple segments where he says some buzzwords that the left hates, and then they'll send it out to the masses. And that's the thing. I'll ask the people I work with. I was like, "What news station do you watch?" And they'll be like, "CNN." And I'm like, "That's what? The issue. You're not watching. See, it's okay to watch CNN, but you have to actually watch some other form of news. Because if all you're watching is CNN, if all you're watching is Fox, if all you're reading is Breitbart, if all you're reading is the Daily Wire, if all you're reading is the Washington Post, if all you're reading is New York Times, you're not getting a full story ever, at all."
Diversify your sources. Basically.
You're probably getting 2% of the actual story 100% of the time, or 99% of the time. Let's go with that. And it's, and then I'd show them full clips of what he said. They're like, "Oh, he says all Mexicans are criminals and rapists." And then I pulled up the quote, and it says, "He says the people coming over aren't the people Mexico. When people sends people over, they're not sending their best. You know.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of them are good people, but
yeah."
There are criminals, there are rapists, there are people who are looking to take advantage of the system. And that is a true statement.
Exactly.
Everybody coming over. And speaking of that, we have a story from, let me go to Twitter. It's always from Twitter, I swear. So, okay, it's Jorge Ventura Media. It's a, so this is a guy, he works with the Daily Caller. He's a field reporter, and he's been working at the border, making sure the illegal immigrants that are coming over get taken care of and everything, you know, is being reported fairly. So, he was on Timcast the other day, and I'm gonna hold this up so you guys can hear. It's like a minute long clip, so.
Different human smuggling. So these are the, so this is what, kind of our reporting has showed is that the Central Americans have to pay a human smuggling group, a cartel group, to cross the Rio Grande River. And the different color wristbands means there's different human smuggling groups. So here we have red ones, we have some black ones, and we have some purple ones. The majority of these ones say entregas, which means delivered. That means the product has already been delivered. So either if they haven't paid the full payment, then they become indentured servants on our side. But they also have to pay for the kids. Yeah, these are... It's insane to see it in person because, I mean, literally...
Yeah, like, pull it straight so people can read what it says.
Yeah, like, I mean, like literally last night, guys, we were interviewing migrants coming from Nicaragua that were human smuggled right in front of us. We have the video. It's up on Twitter, and we got to collect these from the migrants. The reason that I keep getting asked, like, why do you collect them? Is like, we're trying to show...
These are numbered, people, dude. These are serial numbers.
Yeah, and, it, and it's different. Like, it's different, you know, for me just telling you, like, hey, this is what's going on. And then when you see it in person, you're like, whoa. Wait. And so these are the...
So, yeah, they have serial numbers. They say entregas. It means delivered. They are being put on people and who are being sent over the border. You know? These are human trafficking rings. You know, this is evidence right here.
I don't know why this happened, honestly. This is just, like, absolutely just serious. Honestly, like, there's like, trafficking, like... I think there was a reason why, like, people, like, complain about how Trump separated the kids from, like, the adults during this whole border crisis thing. And it's, like, the reason was like, it wasn't because what the media said about, like, oh, Trump wants to separate families. No. There were traffickers, and, like, and if the kids mixed in with the adults, it's very likely that they would get trafficked. So that's why the separation happened. That way kids won't be trafficked. Now with kids being with their parents, it's, like, and there's got to be a possibility, like, they've got to be with their parents, like, but, like, they need to be separated from those, like, adults that want to traffic minors.
Yeah, and there was another thing, you know, I saw a video, I think it was a couple months ago, I'll try and find it if I can so I can link it, and I will link that post down in the description as well as links that kind of talk about everything else that we've talked about today, so we can make sure that gets distributed properly and people know what's going up. But you know, so these guys rushed up on a group of illegal immigrants, and you just see, like, these adult men just sitting around and, like, these kids just, like, sprawled out on the ground. Like, and they're like, are these kids asleep? And they're like, yeah. And, you know, when you're asleep, if you shine a bright light in a kid's face while he's sleeping, he's probably gonna wake up. If you're loud, these kids were knocked out, man. Like, they had been drugged.
What?
Come on. It was insane. It was absolutely insane. And, like, they're asking these questions and the guys aren't giving very good answers, aren't giving very detailed answers. You know, one guy said, oh, my wife left me with the kid and now we're coming to America. I'm like, really, dude? Your kid literally looks like he was given, like, chloroform, man. Are you seriously telling me that that's the story? So I'll try and find that video, too, to link it. But the border's going really shady right now. And what everybody was complaining about with the Trump administration, I guarantee you, those cages, yeah, those were from the Obama administration.
It is. The
Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff that's going on. You know,
so this is what,
like, literally, all those immigrants down at the southern border, they're being held in a giant fenced-in area. You know, and some of them are leaving. They're like, I haven't eaten in 3 days. I'm going, man. Like, screw this. I'm going back over the border. That's a no. At least I think I've seen a story like that. I'm not too sure, but it's just not. This isn't America. That's not how America goes. But yeah. Other than that, we've got more info on the $3.5 trillion bill that it's been looking kind of shaky. No, we've got more info on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talk about
so,
it.
Other than. You know, Kamisaki and the Dems not really knowing how the economy or, you know, just money works in general. I'm sure they're just going to print out $3.5 trillion bills and kind of, like, just shove them into the bank account and be like, hey, it's paid for. That's not how that works. You know, unless we're going to completely, like, mandate the way our money works, like China does. But, I mean, look at China. So... So they've been trying to pass this bill for a while, and Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, they've been like, heck no, that's not happening. Yeah, no. So Joe Manchin's like, I won't pay for anything over like $1.5 trillion, like at all. Like, and 3.5 is just way too much. And then I don't know exactly what Kyrsten Sinema said, but something along the lines of that. And you know, they like, the Dems are very upset. Like, apparently, like, Joe Biden had, like, a one-on-one conversation with Joe Manchin trying to get it to change his mind. He's like, no. $1.5 trillion, that's as high as I'll go.
OMG, based Democrat?
Yeah, based Democrat. Joe Manchin? Based what? Joe Manchin? Come based on, Joe Manchin. We'll take you. We'll take you, broski.
Like, come on.
But, come on. Yeah, so, and it's really funny. Because you'll see online, I know Bernie Sanders talked about it. He was like, two senators ruined the vote for the Democrats. It only takes two senators or whatever. And then, like, you see a pie chart, and it says 52%, and it's in red, and it says two votes in red. And then 48%, 48 votes. And it's like, how Bernie Sanders thinks the Senate works or something. I think it's hilarious because it's, you know, you've got 48 people, basically. Yeah, 48 people in Senate who voted yes. That's not majority. I hate to break it to you. Not a majority of America agrees. That's what that means. And I tell you for one thing, sure, not a majority of America agrees. You know, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are looking out for the moderates in their, districts, you know. Oh wait, no. Are they in Senate?
Joe Manchin.
Yeah, look that up.
Joe Manchin is in the Senate.
He's in the Senate
because he's a Senate.
Yeah,
he's Joe Manchin's a senator.
Yep. I don't know politics. I just know I don't like him.
Joe Manchin is in the Senate.
Yeah. So yeah, they're looking out for the people in their states, the moderates in their states. They're not going to approve a bill that they know is going to increase taxes exponentially on the people in their states, because, you know, in the end, they're looking for the next vote, and they know if they vote yes to this, they're not going to be voted for in the next election. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of like corrupt, I guess, but I agree with it. You know, if you're looking to get a vote, you're looking after your people.
Yeah,
if if you look after your people are going to vote for you again. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, what's the big deal with, like, the trillion-dollar thing, like,
The $3.5 trillion?
Yeah, what's the big deal with that bill, honestly?
So it's like 2,500 pages.
Yeah.
They tried to... They there's a whole bunch of stuff that people have found in the bill. One of them was granting Biden the power to, like, impose $700,000 fines on companies that don't agree with his enforce his mask and vaccine mandates, or $70,000, not $700,000. That was one thing they hid in there pretty well. And, you know, $3.5 trillion for infrastructure. It's not only for infrastructure. It's 2,500 pages, probably 10 of which are about infrastructure, and the other 2,490 are probably all about progressive welfare systems that are going to give themselves and their and constituents that they know are going to vote for them more money. But it's also going to take more taxes. It'll give them more powers. It'll make them able to raise their own, probably make it to where they can raise their own salary even more. You know, they get paid $170,000 a year. I'm sure they want more than that, so I wouldn't doubt it. But it's just, it's all,
yeah, stinky politics. Stinky politics. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
The people need real solutions. The American people want real solutions, not the same old boring politics. Come on.
And so I think the biggest, the most funny or entertaining thing about this is, so Nancy Pelosi, I don't like her. Not the biggest fan. I don't feel like a lot of people like her. We're not the biggest fans of her. But she's not a hardcore progressive. You know, she's not Bernie Sanders. She's not AOC. So a couple months ago, she was, a couple months ago, she was talking about, you know, we're not going to split the bill. We're going to get this bill going forward, $3.5 trillion. What we want in this bill is going to happen. Mm-hmm. After time and time again, it's happened twice. It's been shut down. You know, and this time, she just didn't put the bill up because she knew it wouldn't be voted for. She knew it wouldn't pass through. And they knew, and she knew if it was voted for and it didn't go through, it'd be cut. It wouldn't happen. So what she did, she didn't put it up, and she split the bill. She split it into two bills, one for infrastructure and one for something else. They may both have levels of infrastructure in them, but it's two bills now. And oh boy, Senate progressives were not happy at all. AOC said she's voting no on the infrastructure bill. And a whole bunch of progressives said they're voting no on the infrastructure bill. So what's probably going to happen is, well, probably not for the infrastructure, but both bills are going to be hard to get a yes on. Because I guarantee you most Republicans are going to vote no on the second bill. And, you know, we already know Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are going to vote no on it because they don't – I mean, most likely because – you know, they said the most they'll pay is $1.5 trillion, $3.5 trillion, cut in half, still isn't $1.5 trillion, so they're probably not going to vote for it. But that infrastructure bill maybe get passed. Yeah. we're 29 minutes in and almost done with all the information. We're gonna have to come up with stuff, man.
I mean, honestly, like, there's the Democrat infighting. Like, this just shows, like, how fractured this is. Like, see, because let's just rewind it back to last year.
Yeah.
Let's rewind the tape to last year. Biden talked about, you know, under me, we're going to be united as a country. Trump is already splitting us apart. And what Trump is doing is causing more hatred. But under me, America will be back to unity. America will be back to peace and prosperity.
Well, that was a lie.
Exactly. Look where we are right now. Democrat, like, not only you have people being fractured more and more, but you also have Democrats that are fighting against each other.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, we have two parties for a reason, you know? it's so we don't have a, you know, a unitarian party state, a single party state, where the rights of the people are not respected. You know, look at Venezuela, look at Cuba, look at North Korea, China, Russia, basically any country where there's only one party or there's the facade of multiple parties. And you're going to see a dictatorship, or you're going to see like a more authoritarian government that, as America, we do not agree with. And it's just, it's insane to me that, oh, I just heard some noises.
Sorry, that was Discord. Sorry about that. Continue.
Oh, you're good. Discord. What you on Discord for, bud? I'm playing with you. But yeah, we're not a unitarian party. We have two parties for a reason, and it's really coming back to bite them in the butt that there's not that third party, because you know they didn't start a third party because they wanted the Democrat they wanted the Democrats to have numbers. Now they have numbers, but what has it gotten them? Just gotten them bickering, because now that there's not a third party, they can't agree on nothing. I mean, they probably wouldn't agree on nothing if there was a third party, but you know.
Yeah. And the problem that would lead to is that the one thing I want to discuss, it's just something that I brought up just at the very last hours before we launched this. It's that there was an eye-opening poll showing that more than 40% of Biden voters and half of Trump voters that agree, like, there's one thing that if those, like, Biden and Trump voters agree on, well, some of them, they agree it's time to split the country.
Yeah.
And it's secede, and when I first read it, it's, what?
Secede from the union. That's what they want to do.
Yeah. And when I first read this, I was like, I was very shocked. Yeah. I was like, I didn't want it to come to this point because, one, we are the United States of America. We don't want to be divided. We're not the divided states of America. We're the United States of America. But the thing is, this whole toxic political culture between within the left and the right, it's leading us to, like, I say, like, oh, we don't want to be associated with you anymore. We have nothing in common with you.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter how much we try to unify you, we just end up keep on rebutting each other. And like 40% of Biden voters and half of the Trump voters say, like, we're done with you. Mm-hmm. We're done trying to associate with you. We're just going to split.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a couple months ago, there was a poll that said 36% of voters want their region to secede from the union. And those numbers have only continued to go up since Biden has been in office.
Oh, I don't know what... I don't know when we've seen that during Trump.
We didn't. Honestly. Well, we saw it in California, and that was about it. We saw it on the West Coast, and that was about it. But I think it was New Hampshire we talked about before. They're already putting it in motion to vote in their next election if they're going to secede from the union.
Really?
We talked about that, didn't we?
I don't think so.
I know we talked about it on the podcast. I don't know if you were here when we talked about it. But yeah. New Hampshire is voting to secede from the union.
There's still a lot of trouble. I just don't think the country should be divided over this.
Well, so here's the thing is, or here's the thing. I think the idea of secession, it gets a lot of bad rep because of the last time secession happened. It was, you know, the Confederacy, and, you know, they were pretty terrible people, blah, 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 blah. And it went very badly for them. I can't see it going too well, and here's why. First of all, not all states are quite able to do everything by themselves. You know, a lot of states do rely on California. A lot of states do rely on New York, Texas. You know, that's just how it goes. A lot of states rely on Florida because there's certain things that are produced in different states that aren't produced in others. We need to get those there. And then China. I feel like China is a real big issue because the one thing that keeps America kind of straight, I guess, is the fact that China doesn't have too much of an influence on us. You know, they still have quite a bit, but not as much as we think they do sometimes. And if we did secede, if the states did break apart, it would be much easier for China to kind of infiltrate you know,
yeah,
kind of our daily lives. It's weird.
Well, I mean, if you have something to say to the people that want to secede, like, you know, the what do you have to say to the 40% Biden voters and the 52% Trump voters who want to split?
The grass is always greener on the other side. Don't think this is the right move. We'll see, but as of right now, we need to hold off.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the political infighting I just wish it could stop.
Yeah. And, you know, there's always going to be political infighting, and I doubt it's going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Because that's just how things work. But I see this being a great unifier of American politics, you know? In 2022, we're most likely going to have a much more Republican Senate and House of Reps. Now those may be rhinos, but and I thought of this one today while I was at work when I was like watching all the stuff on the bill, and I was like, hey, the Republicans have rhinos, the Democrats have dinos, Democrats in name only. And Joe Manchin was like, I've never been a liberal. And I was like, that's hilarious. That's funny. Yeah. Because I'm not too sure about it, but it'd be funny if it was true.
Like, that's just, wow. Yeah.
Our politics have been pretty messed up for a while. You know, in 2016, we had, you know, people literally attacking one of our presidential candidates. For no good reason. It actually came out that Hillary... her like law firm that she had working with the like the Trump investigation is getting criminal charges placed on them, I guess. So I mean, Hillary may be next with the criminal charges, which, hey, go ahead. It's the past 5 years, 6 years really, have been really weird. Absolutely mind-boggling.
I mean, I don't know. It's just been weird. Like, Obama's last term. I mean, it's just everything seems like it started to go down.
Yeah.
I just don't think... I think 2016, though, was a resurgence. I think 2016, the message that Trump carried in 2016 should have been a reminder for us to keep going. Yeah. Well, apparently, I think we just took the foot off the gas a little bit as conservatives. We should have stepped up more.
I mean, well, see, here's the thing. Like, the whole like conservative movement didn't really exist before. I think around 2014, 2015, because we had we had, you know, a rise in kind of this like uber progressive like politics that we just did not agree with when it came to, you know, most things. And it's something we're going to have to work with for the next while. But yeah, I don't think we necessarily stepped off the pedal. I feel like the people representing us took a back seat when they shouldn't have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, yeah. I just still think they kind of I don't know what to say. It's just so bad. And even too, I was also going to talk about this also, even like there is, as a result of this uber progressive politics, it's like now you have like a bunch of pro-abortion women's marches.
Yeah.
They're marching for the murdering babies. Like, and I found out about it when those women, they were protesting like the Texas abortion law. I was like, oh my gosh. So you're all for killing babies in the womb? Like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, and that's one thing I really don't understand, you know, because I mean, and I actually wrote, and okay, so I was taking sociology, and I actually wrote a pretty pretty good essay on it. I got a 100. And it's really weird because, so my teacher, at least I'm assuming my teacher is, I won't say it out flat because I'm not too sure. She may just be teaching the class like this because that's how it's supposed to be taught. I assume that she's pretty left wing. So I started my essay talking about gender inequality.
What did you say?
So, third wave feminism. I'll start off with this. Third wave feminism started out in 1993. The girl power movement started around 1994, 1995. Fourth wave feminism started in 2010. And the, My Body, My Choice movement started more recently. But yeah. And those are all, like, pretty good, you know, hey, you know, hey, girls are cool. I agree, girls are cool. No disagreements there. But they've been promoting the My Body, My Choice thing, which, you know, hey, your body, your choice. But they've been pushing too much for the choice of sex. And, you know, since 1993, we've actually seen an increase in reported rapes. Now, I'm under the assumption that's just an increase in reporting. But in my essay, I framed it as an increase in rapes in general because, you know, I was trying to get the grade.
What?
You're allowed to skew information. I did say, though, this could be interpreted as an increase in reporting, but you can skew information when it's for a grade. I did give both sides.
Okay, but, good.
But, yeah. So, anyways, I went on to say, you know, since 1993, we've seen an increase in rapes being reported. We've seen an increase in porn. And then I went over a whole bunch of stats in porn. So did you know that 67% of girls that actively look up porn, they do it so they know how to meet a boy's expectations? That was an official answer on a survey. 67% of young girls said that.
What?
97% of the sexual violence on explicit websites have been towards women. And we've seen these increases since the implementation of these third wave feminist movements. And so I drew that conclusion, and you know, this is one of the things that I think has contributed to this issue. Third wave feminism has tainted, absolutely destroyed the idea of gender inequality. Because we live in a world now where people scream gender inequality and then actively disenfranchise men or do things meant to disenfranchise men or meant to promote gender inequality that eventually hurt women.
Yeah.
You know? We've got hundreds of thousands of dollars being funneled in to abortion clinics.
I simply don't understand just why it happened.
Yeah, and it's a net negative because you know what it's doing? It's telling men that they have a free pass.
What happened to us? Is that why us men are just becoming more and more feminine and the women just like thinking they can assume?
No, that's not why. So and that's also so women are being told it's your body, it's your choice, you can have sex. That's what they're being told. They're like, and that's been a major play in a lot of the social progressiveness that has happened recently. I'm not sure about the whole transgender movement. I'm not sure about the whole, I do know what that is. So the whole femininity and transgender movement, that's because from a very young age, this is just how humans and creatures are. Humans, creatures, are hardwired for attention. Okay? That's just how it works. If as a child you don't get enough attention, or if you don't get a lot of attention, you know, I wasn't given a lot of attention as a child. I mean, I was given more than some, I don't know. I'm not the child anymore, I can't remember. But kids act out, kids do things. So we'll start seeing, you know, kids wear dresses, or boys wear dresses, or girls wear masculine clothing, or hanging out with boys mostly, or wearing boy clothes. And those are all, I mean, guys wearing dresses, I'd be like, ah. And girls wearing, like, masculine clothes, I'd go, ah. But, you know, hanging out with people is okay. You're allowed to be feminine and masculine. It's just we've seen a rapid increase in the amount of times it happens in our society, and I feel like it's mostly due to our interactions with adults, how adults are treating us, because we see a lot of adults treating kids like they're adults now, you know, just in general. Like, the other day, I had a customer in the store, and, like, I was just talking to them. They're like, yeah, my daughter's old enough to take care of myself, or take care of herself. I was like, really, how old's your daughter? And like, 3 years old. I'm like, your daughter is not old enough to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're being kind of hyperbolic, but they're in no way old enough to. I wouldn't say a child is old enough to take care of themselves until they are 16, 17, 18. And even 16 is a stretch. Yeah. We see adults treating kids more like adults. We see adults treating adults like they're more of adults than they are. You know, the human brain doesn't generally stop developing until the 25 years of age. You know, and we're seeing 25-year-olds making very life-altering decisions. So, but, you know, I feel like, you know, with the whole Women's March thing, feminism as a whole, while a good thing, has had a net negative on gender equality. And that's what I said in my essay, and she gave me 100. Like, she was like, I really appreciate you spending time on this topic, and you drew a lot of very logical conclusions. I was like, score.
Score one.
Feminism sucks.
Exactly. Feminism does suck in general.
Well, no,
I agree.
See, I'd like to say I'm a feminist. You know, I believe in gender equality. Feminism rules. Girls are great. But third wave feminism gets associated with its third and fourth wave counterparts, which is not the case. Feminism is the movement of, you know, girls being equal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rapidly, since 1993, it's rapidly changed to men suck, girls good.
Well, I mean, I just think the feminist movement in general is just like, you're just saying like women should work in... Honestly, like, my thing with feminism is, like, I have a huge problem with feminism is that it's, like, it's making women just basically just think, like, oh, they're, like, better than their husbands, or, like, they just want to, like, feel like, oh, they can rebel against the natural order of nature.
Well, it's, see, just, like,
I can't handle it.
See, I don't have much problem with rebelling against the natural order, and I know it's weird. See, because I believe in the equivalence or the equality of opportunity.
Wanting to
rebel, being able to rebel, that is important. But once it gets to the point where you have equality of outcome, which is not possible between men and women, because that is not how biology works. You know, and people are always like, oh, it's not just biology. And this is actually something I found in my sociology textbook. People are not born transgender. They're not born gay. They're not born anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the very root of things, there is biology, and then there is also society. There is nature and nurture. Per nature, it is not the de facto. You know, that's not how it works unless there is a, you know, a anomaly, I would say. Nurture is the primary reason why people are the way they are when they're adults. And I'd say that nature and the way most women grow up is the reason why they generally dominate fields that are, you know, like teaching, nurses, more social fields rather than technical fields, which is completely fine. You know, there's definitely importance in being a teacher and being a writer and being an artist and being, you know, a nurse. We generally have very much need for those occupations. And I'd say arguably, I'd say we have much more need for those occupations than other occupations. So they dominate very important fields, I feel like.
I mean, like, the thing is, though, like, and here's, like, what I have to say. It's, like, with feminism, it's so nuanced.
Yeah.
Right now, it's, like, it's just, but it's, like, you're basically saying, like, oh, women should not be able to maintain the home. It's, like, but now it's, like, you just came to the point where it's, like, they might start thinking, like, you know, women who want to stay at home are, quote-unquote, oppressed. It's like,
And I hate that because I actually saw a video and it was this girl, she was getting ready for college. She was like, I have a message for all those girls out there for who fought for equality. And it's like, I'm not oppressed. You're like, all of you who complain about having to sit at home all day and wait for your husband, clean the house and get food ready for your husband when he gets home. She was like, that's what I want. I want that. But now I have to go to school to get a job. And I'm like, that is hilarious. I will put a link to that in the description too.
Yeah, because it was
genuinely funny. Based. Yeah, facts. And here's the thing. We're not saying that she's based because, barefoot and pregnant wife in the kitchen. That's not why we're saying she's based. You know, we're saying she's based because she actually wants the opportunity. She wants the chance. She wants the choice to make those decisions. You know, if somebody wants to be a stay-at-home wife, you know, hey, go for it, man. And I mean, me personally, so where I come from with this is and people are going to hate me for this. The reason why I would want a stay-at-home wife, hold on, is because I'm about to get roasted, man. People are like, he wants a stay-at-home wife. Whoa. I don't feel like she should have to work. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like she should have to. I go off to work. She can relax at home. She can watch TV. She can eat whatever she wants. She can play video games. I don't know. She can read. She can maintain the home.
She's got to maintain it, though.
She can maintain the home. You know, hey, I'll come home and I'll vacuum. I'll come home and I'll cook for her. Dude, I don't care. She doesn't have to work. Really? She doesn't have to.
I mean,
that's my opinion.
Okay, I respect that.
Yeah.
Like you have a very interesting take on this subject.
Yeah, like and that's how I feel about everything. Because I feel so, and you know, this is, men are here to protect the weak. And that's not saying that women are weak. It's saying that it's a man's job to take care of things and to make sure everything is all right, first and foremost. Because both fathers and mothers are their first priority is to be home builders, and in order for a man to do that, he has to be working. I don't think a woman needs to work in order to be a homemaker. I feel like her being there for the children, and her just, yeah, I'm weird, man. I'm weird.
It's just, I mean, you're just like, but I think it's just like you just like want to put heavy burden on them. If you just give them extra work, like outside, in addition to their home caring, you're just putting extra burdens on them. I don't think the current feminists realize that's what they're doing more harm to women, like you said, than the. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the feminism of the past. I don't know.
Yeah, because here's the thing. You know, feminism has led to one thing for men. Men get a lot more of what they want. You know. Men can sit at home and do whatever. There, you see a rise in men who are stay-at-home dads. You know, why is the dad sitting at home while the girl while the mom's going to work every day? You know,
I mean,
that's just
my friend. Like, he told me about the circumstance. Like, he had a circumstance that would lead to like the mom working and the dad staying. I mean, they're unusual circumstances.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's fine, but the fact that we see it rising so quickly in society is alarming to me.
It's concerning.
It's concerning. And people are going to be like, oh, you're sexist and stuff. I'm like,
yeah, you're a sexist, misogynist.
If you think women not having to working or not having to work is sexist, because, hey, they can work if they want. It's not a, it's not a, I would prefer them to stay home. It's if they want to stay home, they can stay home. That's because so I want them to be happy, and I know if I go to work and I come home, I bring in the money, and we're gonna have a good life. Now they can bring in money too if they want, but they don't have to.
Yeah, I'm cool. Mean, or if you're working a full time job, she prefers to work part time.
Yeah.
Or like, and then maintain the home at the same time. I think it's fine. Like, yeah. I mean, as long as you're maintaining the home, like, if the job that a woman takes is like, she doesn't like, you know, take away her time to see her children, like, that's totally fine. Like,
yeah.
A part time job shouldn't hurt a woman or her kids.
And one of the biggest things, oh, they pull up this chart. They pull up this chart that shows, look at how little time fathers spend with their kids. I'm like, yeah, I know it's a really big issue, but they are out there making money for the for their family, and that is great. They should be spending more time with their kids, though. Because, I mean, okay, so I plan on being a teacher, so I'll be at my job. I'll be there from, like, 6 in the morning, maybe 7 in the morning, till, like, probably 5 in the afternoon. So I'll see my kids when probably from, like, 5:36 to the time they go to bed. That's not a lot of time, but you know, I am going to try and make as much time as I can for them, and I feel like most men would try, you know. But sometimes, you know, things don't work out like that. But yeah, back to the whole thing of the Women's March. I feel like it's gone too far. It's gone to the point where women don't quite know what they're giving men.
Yeah, or they don't know that. I feel like they're just brainwashed to, like, I feel like a lot of the people in, like, the Women's March against abortion, for abortion, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the people that are in the Women's March for abortion, they're, like, brainwashed to think that, like, they don't know, like, the value or worth of, like, the baby. Mm-hmm. They think they just reduce it down to, like, clumps of cells or, like, it's not moving, it's not breathing. Like, it is breathing. Like, it is a living being inside the woman's body. But then this progressive liberal feminist agenda has brainwashed a lot of people to thinking that it's not precious. It's just, oh, you could just get rid of it and it'll be fine. Like, no. In fact, I think there's been multiple evidence that's shown that majority of women who aborted their babies now regret it. Majority of women who abort their babies.
Well, okay, so I'm not sure about the majority, but because I know there's a lot of women who will go to abortion clinics and record and be like, "Woo, get an abortion today." Now it's not everybody, but I'm fairly certain it's not the majority, not anymore, with how wildly they're available.
I mean, they could, like, record themselves doing that. Mm-hmm. They'll record themselves being all glad, but I think in reality it's like, it might be different than what you would see on, like, social media. That's why I think I'm bringing this up.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you bring that up, because I was actually thinking right before you said that, you know, the reason why, one of the biggest reasons why abortions are so prevalent is because women and fathers don't know the value of parenthood. They don't realize how valuable it can be, how good it can be for you. And it's because and the reason why this ties into what you were saying is, like, the whole, like, oh, they do this, they record this, they can say these things on social media, but they may not be how they really feel, is because they see all these other mothers. They see their mothers, these mothers, having a hard time taking care of their children. They see these mothers complaining about, you know, not being able to, you know, keep up with rent, keep up with, you know, all these things. I've dealt with women like this. You know, I've worked with quite a few women like this who have complained about being mothers. But when it boils down to it, at the end of those conversations, every single time, they say, I really love my kids. I don't know what I would do without them.
Aw, that's precious.
And that's always how it goes. And they don't listen to that part of the conversation. They listen to the struggle. They listen to the hard work, all the stress that you have to go through. Hard work and stress and struggle is good for you, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's a part of life. It's like, so the fact that they're complaining about something that's, like, a natural part of life is just ridiculous and just complete victimhood at this point.
Yeah. And I feel like it definitely is going to take time, because I feel like one of the biggest ways to address, you know, the pregnancy issue is to tell, you know, and I said this in my essay, I was like, tell them to them straight. You know, it's not just girls, it's not just boys who are responsible for this. You know, we need to tell boys, you know, because this is what happened. You know, since 1993, males have been conditioned to want and kind of expect things. Because that's how the feminine movement has gone. It's like, if you want to have sex, you have sex. And generally, they end up doing it. And men have grown to expect that. So, I mean, I feel like telling kids from a young age, you know, or not a young age, but telling boys once they're ready for it, you know, that's not something you should expect. That's not how life works. You're not going to do that. And telling girls that don't let that be something that defines a relationship. You don't have to. You probably shouldn't. It doesn't make you cool at all. Tell both of them, it doesn't make them cool at all. And I feel like that would drastically decrease pregnancies, as well as informing them, you know, when they're ready about contraception, you know, letting them know, and abstinence. Hey, you know, I'd prefer abstinence, but if you're going to have sex, use contraception until you're ready to have a kid.
Honestly, I just think at this point, as a man, I'm trying to do my part and make sure, like, more abortions don't happen. It's like, one of the things I've taken upon myself is, you know, just don't have sex with a woman until you're married, because way too many men our age, it's like they're fooling around with women and it's just causing women to, like, have burdens, and they contemplate abortions. It's like, bro, you're like freaking playing around with their minds. Like, do you realize what you're doing when you're, it's like, to all those men, it's like, to the men who, like, think that it's okay to just fool around and have sex with any woman, it's like, do you realize what you're doing to that, to this, like, these sweet innocent minds? Do you realize what you're doing to these sweet innocent precious people in our society?
Well, so
women,
so,
are precious, like, come on,
you know, it does, like, get, okay, it does get to the point, it does get to the point where the, where
they're screwing their minds, it's, up, it's, they're not screwing them up.
Yeah I mean, and it's not every single time. You know, because it does get to the point where, you know, they're not just having sex with, you know, innocent. You know, we like to think of all life as innocent, but
multiple and no reason.
So, and this is one of the biggest things that we're talking. People are going to be very surprised that we're talking about this, that we're talking down about men. Yes, men are taking advantage of this whole "my body, my choice" movement. There is no doubt about that. Some men are perfectly willing to say, "Oh, you're gonna get an abortion? Yeah, let's go." And that's what they'll do.
Seriously, those guys are seriously just jerks. Honestly, I can't.
And it is, and it to a degree, it is ruining innocence.
You know? Yes.
I'm
very blunt. Honestly, I'm just gonna be blunt. Always on this podcast, whatever happens, honestly, Tim, I'm gonna go full on blunt against, like, this injustice, the degeneracy that's going on in our society.
You know, we've seen our population. So population is exponential, but our population is growing far less exponentially than other populations or our population in the past. And the African American population has actually stagnated since like the 70s.
Oh wait, but what happened to the? Wait. But what happened to the overpopulation argument? What happened to the people that argue, like, oh, our planet's getting overpopulated? You know, we don't need more people on this rapidly depleting planet because of overpopulation. Like, I don't know what happened.
No. If you took everybody in the world and put them in, like, one kind of area, they'd all fit within Texas.
Really?
Yeah, if you clump them all up in a big ball, put them on the earth, they'd all fit within Texas. We don't have an issue with overpopulation. We have an issue with livable areas. We have not adapted to the point where we can live in areas that have climates that aren't very comfortable. You know, very small proportions of the population live in deserts, very dense jungles, mountains, which are areas that are inhabitable. We have people living in those areas, but we just haven't gotten to the point where we're willing to invest a lot of money and time and resources in those. And that's why we see cities growing up and not out.
Let's see what happens. What just happened to our world? I mean, what happened with, like, oh my gosh, what happened to just, like, to the world? It's like where men can just be men without being judged as a sexist or whatever. What happened to, like, women, like, you know, just being feminine, their feminine happy selves? Like,
I feel like it was the rapid acceptance of, I was thinking about this earlier, the rapid acceptance of disbelief rather than belief. You know what I mean?
I'm just kidding.
Wait, what you mean?
Nah, sorry. I'm just like, my mind's just, honestly, yeah. My brain is just getting super fried from, like, hearing all this, like, feminist crap, like, all this women's march, like,
yeah,
I feel, honestly, I feel so bad. I don't hate the people that are partaking in the march themselves. I just feel bad for their souls.
I hate to use the word hate, but
yeah, I mean,
I feel bad for the people partaking in it because I hate the people who are taking advantage of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there are people who are taking advantage of it for their own political gain or their own personal gain. And it's kind of sad. But what I meant is the rapid acceptance of disbelief is we've gotten to a point where... So here's one of the things that I bring up on Twitter when people say, oh, there is no God. I'm like, all right, how do you prove it?
Hmm.
And they're like, well, look at science. I'm like, how does science prove there is no God? And they're like, well, look at the stories. Well, I mean, and they're like, well, look at the stories in the Bible. You know, evolution completely disproves that. I'm like, how?
Yep.
And they really don't understand what I mean until I say, how do you know God didn't make the world 5,000 years ago exactly in the image that it was?
Yep.
Or it would have been after millions of years of evolution. How do you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they can't. And that's what I mean. You know, Christians rather accept belief. You know, belief in something that can happen, rather than completely disbelief or not believing in something that is probable. Because you can't prove. Okay, so like people will say, "Oh, the Big Bang." I'm like, "All right, how did the Big Bang happen?" They're like, it was a singularity, you know, a lot of friction, rapid gas exchange and expansion created the Big Bang.
What?
And I'm like, okay, but where did that singularity come from? They'll be like, and then they just go in this cyclical, you know, kind of, oh, well, the great rubber banding effect or whatever it's called. Where a universe collapses back into a singularity. I'm like, all right, well, where did that universe come from before it? And it's just this endless cycle of, you know, this, and this happened. And I'm like, I've got a real answer. I've got an answer for you. You may not like it. God made it happen.
I mean, for everybody here who's watching this that's not, like, extremely religious, like, whatever you think about religion, you can put it down in the comments below, or you can just, like...
Yeah. See, I've got no issue with people, like, telling me I'm wrong, because in the end, it is what I believe, and you believe what you believe, and I'm not here to tell you you're wrong either. I'm just, when I have those arguments with people, I'm more of proposing ideas to them rather than telling them that they're ignorant, because, you know, in the end, we all have our beliefs, but I do have an issue with the flat out, like... Mm-hmm. Like, just saying that there's no way religion exists. Because a majority of people on Earth, a large proportion, I won't say majority, of people on Earth are religious in some form. You know? And it's, when we have arguments like, how do you know that that didn't happen? It's very hard to prove us wrong. Because... You don't, and we don't know enough about our own universe to be able to tell what actually happened, how things started. But I think that the reason why we have these social issues today is the rapid acceptance of disbelief rather than belief. You know, we don't believe in evidence until proven, or innocence until proven guilty anymore. We don't believe that parenthood is a value. We don't believe that, you know, conservative values are what we need as a society. We don't believe in these things. We rather stand in disbelief of tradition and the norms and things that have worked for a pretty good amount of time. You know, things haven't always been perfect, but they've been pretty good. You know, people have disbelief in capitalism, saying that capitalism increases poverty. I'm like, okay, then why in the most why in the most capitalist countries around the world do we have the richest people in poverty? Like, why the poverty line is so much higher than the poverty line in other countries?
Like, why? Okay, if capitalism actually was like exploiting the poor, it's like, why are people like that are benefiting from capitalism, like gaining their own wealth from how much they work instead of the government just providing for them like socialist programming?
Yeah. And one thing I will say is, you know, not all, and I have a problem with big businesses. You know, I have a problem with big tech. I have a problem with, you know, a lot of companies like Nike, Bethesda even, but even though I love, you know, Bethesda's games, I have a problem with Bethesda. Because they're kind of corrupt, you know, and there are cases of companies going down to Southern Hemisphere, extracting resources for profit. So in no doubt, there are people who are displaced or more likely to be in poverty because of the actions of capitalist companies. But those are the companies, not capitalism as a whole. You know, we do require some regulation, even though I am a staunch believer in, you know, small government. We do need some regulation to ensure that people are being protected. People's rights, human rights specifically, are being protected.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like capitalism is just like, for me, like, I just don't understand, you know. I don't know. It's just the point of, like, you know, like I said, you know, this, the distortion of absolute truth, like, you know, people don't want to listen to the truth anymore, which is very sad. And honestly, I wish, like, we could. I sincerely wish with all my heart that, like, we just turn back to the truth, like, just at once. Like, the acceptance of absolute truth is the problem and is why, like, I just, like, I don't know what to say at this point. It's just, just absolute truth is gone. And we need to, that's why it's like, I literally talked about this with one of my friends about, like, how we can get the culture back. Starts with the education system.
Oh, yeah. See, and that's one of the biggest issues. Education has ruined our society because, okay, so Common Core, absolutely useless. When you boil down to it, okay, one of the biggest reasons why we have seen an increase in, you know, decrease in literacy rates along minority communities, specifically, you know, the Black community and the Hispanic community, is because of Common Core. Rather than letting students learn at their own pace and teaching them to their skills, you know, and it's also this idea that we need to get everybody ready for college. You know, throughout high school, nobody said anything to me about joining the workforce right out of high school. And that probably would have been a good idea. I probably could have worked in an auto shop, something I really enjoy doing. I like working on cars. I probably could have joined an auto shop and be just as successful as I will be 10 years down the line after I've done paying off for all my, I'm not sure if I have education or student loans, but after I'm done with college, you know, there's not really going to be much of a difference. It's just 4 more years I'm not earning money and I'm paying money. You know, Common Core has made it to where teachers have to teach to a test, or the No Child Left Behind Act made it to where teachers are trying to teach to test. They're trying to force information onto students and get them to know as much information as possible, as quick as possible. And we've seen test scores go down. We've seen literacy rates. We've seen people being able to do math go down every single year because of these tests. Fixing the education system. Instilling, you know, not Christianity, not religion, but religious values. You know what I mean? You know, genuine morality. You know, loving thy neighbor. Not stealing, cheating. Being able to listen to authority sometimes. Understanding that you are not the only person in the universe. You know? Understanding that we are all one race. You know? We are all made in the image of God. That's what Christians say. But we are all one race. We all deserve to be treated equally. Those are religious values that we should be instilling into our children. You know? But because they want to completely denounce, they want to completely remove all religion, they are willing to get rid of those moral and just values. So, getting rid of Common Core, not teaching to test anymore, teaching to a kid's strength, not forcing them to go to college, letting them join a vocation, setting up two pathways, you know, getting ready for college, joining the workforce. There we go. Teaching kids how to actually be an adult.
I think too, for college, it's like, I don't think it's that useful.
It's not.
If you're going to pick out a liberal college degree.
Yeah, no.
But then you have no use for it in the future. Unless, or like, I wouldn't have a problem if college students wanted to take a foreign language degree, if they're going to do something about it in the future.
Yeah. So people with foreign language degrees, they can work for the U.S. government. They can work as foreign language teachers, which, hey, there's always a shortage of teachers who can teach foreign languages. That we used to have German, we used to have Latin, we used to have ASL in my public school system.
Yeah,
they got rid of all three because the German teacher died halfway through the school year. ASL lost funding. They lost funding, so they couldn't pay the teacher anymore. Yeah.
They cut down on French classes.
Yeah. And then French classes got cut down. Hey, I don't think you really need French, but if you want to learn French, you should be able to learn French in public education. Why not? And then Latin. It's a dead language. Latin is still used a lot. You know, there's a lot of careers that use Latin that, you know,
I mean, that's
kind of important.
That's for, like, if you're going to read history books, but, like, whatever language
you
learn
is, like...
So there's
also, like, architecture, you know, philosophy, political science. There's a lot of things that use Latin words. If you're not going to go into a field where you're going to use Spanish or French, you know, go ahead and take Latin if you're going to go into a field that, I don't know.
Oh, but other than that, it's like, if you're going to be other than that, though, it's like, at least for college-wise, I think...
Yeah.
There are useful degrees, but then there are also useless degrees. Pick out the one that's useful.
Mm-hmm.
Pick out the one that's like gonna set you up in the future. Like, they say, like, what are the useful ones? Like, business degrees, pretty useful, or like computer science. I don't know.
Well, see, the thing is, you don't need a business degree. A lot of businessmen don't have college degrees. They're useful. They're useful in grabbing attention, but there are companies. Okay, so there are companies where the CEOs don't have business degrees, but they'll only hire people with business degrees. That's just how it is. So they're good at grabbing attention, but, you know, we've seen a rapid shift in businesses that aren't manned by people who are college graduates. I'd say anything where you're learning, if you're going into math, or if you're going into a STEM field, definitely get a college degree. If you want to be a teacher... Go for it. We always need more teachers. If you want to work for the U.S. government, if you can find a degree that they will accept, go ahead and get it, because you're going to start off as an officer, and that's going to be amazing. The problem is we have too many people who join gender studies.
Mm-hmm.
Or they get these degrees that are, like, super niche, and there's not really a market for. Like, who wants to be a therapist for female underwater basket weavers, you know? Because those are the niche type of occupations that these degrees are aimed towards.
Yeah.
And it's... it's just ridiculous that we have so much focus on education, but it hasn't helped. But yeah. We just went over a lot.
We went over all I mean,
yeah, we went over
a lot. We have a good amount of time.
That was a good conversation. We do have one more thing, and it relates to religion, kind of. Yes. But it also relates to, you know, everything that's kind of going on. Left-wing media, people in the media, think they're really funny. I do not know why. Stephen Colbert being one of them. I'll link his video where he's dancing with a bunch of people dressed up as syringes.
Oh my gosh, that video
is the most cringy thing I have ever seen in my life. And if you actually think that that's going to convince people to get a vaccine, you are deranged. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, especially, is Stephen Colbert decided to quote the Bible. I guess.
What?
And this is something that I kind of don't like about people. So this is one big thing that I don't like people talking about religion, is when you automatically push things onto people's religion. You know, like, I do not agree with the statement that everybody who follows Islam is a terrorist. I don't believe that Islam is a violent religion. You know? I believe that there are people who take advantage and misinterpret the word of their God or misinterpret the word of God. And that's just how it goes. There are bad people. But I don't like people who put words into my religion or shove their beliefs of what my religion should be into my religion. And one of those things was Stephen Colbert. He said he quoted Matthew 5:5. The issue is he didn't quote Matthew 5:5. He made up some BS quote, and he said, "Blessed are the vaccinated, for they may attend the late show." He says, "Just another reason to get your vaccine." Dude, that's not what that says. That's not a big deal. But you kind of just like, because people, you're in a place of power. You're in a position of power. People are going to believe you. People may believe that this is a real quote. I know it's not. Many of us know it's not. So I looked it up. So Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You know. Hey Siri, define meek. I don't know.
Okay, I found this on the web for define meek. I don't know. Check it out.
Okay, meek. Oh wait, haha, that's actually funny. The adjective meek describes a person who is willing to go along with whatever other people want to do, like a meek classmate who won't speak up or even when he or she is treated unfairly. So, saying that the vaccinated watch the late show?
Oh my gosh.
That's... No. No. You're comparing people... Actually, hey, here we go. Vaccinated. You're comparing people who just go along with the establishment to the meek, okay? The people who are vaccinated just go along with the establishment. Inheriting the earth. So you're
wow.
Inheriting the earth. So you're saying that if people you know, submit, if people submit to being oppressed, submit to these mandates, those are the people that will thrive.
What? Freaking what? Dude, they gotta be joking.
We just interpreted that, and we read that, and that's how it goes.
Well, vaccine. Well, Stephen Colbert.
He's saying if you shut up, if you take the back seat, and if you listen to us, you will be the ones to inherit what happens.
Oh my god!
I doubt that that was the meaning.
That's cringe, bro.
I doubt that that was the meaning. I'm sure he was just saying, you know, Hey, the vaccine. I'm sure he was just saying, hey, if you're vaccinated, you're allowed to come to watch the Late Show. If you're not, then you know you're not allowed to come or whatever. Or that only the people who are vaccinated are cool. But that's interesting. The meek people who are vaccinated are meek. That's funny. But yeah, other than that, we don't really have much.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have anything else, Steven? Honestly, like, I've said a lot of things I needed to say.
I did too.
But it's like the final words are like we've just discussed earlier. It's like, kids, like parents, please train your kids up. Like, you know, teach the kids, you know, how to make good decisions for themselves. Yeah. So, like, you know, tell them always look at both sides of the aisle in the media. The only way, you know, the culture war can be won in the right way possible is if we can just like start with the education system, like start with like, you know, letting teachers know, like, prepare kids, set them up for the future. It's like, don't just send them off. Don't just tell kids like, oh, you got to get ready for college.
Yeah. Don't make them be cookie cutter versions of themselves and, you know, force them off to, you know, an indoctrination camp where they're going to be just like their professors and then go into some dead-end job. Well, they probably won't be happy, you know? The appearance of happiness is very strong. People will go to great lengths to achieve happiness, even if in the end they aren't happy. But they'll fool themselves into them being happy. Or into thinking they're happy. But yeah, like Steven was saying, try to instill good values into your children. You know, teach them that, you know, the world is the way it is, and there's not much they can do to change it. If they're the best person they can be, if they do right, if they you know, love themselves and love others, regardless of, you know, a difference in opinions or of who they are, as long as they're not terrible people, at least. they're good. You know, teach them to be respectful, work hard, do the right thing, and we'll have a better society. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Society can always afford to get a little bit better. I don't care how great you think it is.
All right. So, to finish this off, like we said in the beginning, please subscribe to our channel at The Conservative Input if you want more content. We post videos every Saturday, every week. And
no, we don't post them every Saturday. We post them Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday.
We like post. Oh, so we post every week.
We post, you know, every week.
Post every week on a new episode, on different content.
Yeah.
And especially with what's going on in our country. And also, please follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram accounts are right below. And even if you have Apple Podcasts, please follow us on Apple Podcasts. And we just want to get the truth out there, as we've said this multiple times. And we just want to let people know that, like, there is hope for, even especially for our generation, there is hope, you know, for the future. And, you know, no government leader, no person is going to stop the truth from overflowing. Then we will advance the truth. We're going to keep on going.
Yeah.
And nothing is going to deter us. So,
facts. But yeah, like you said, check out the podcast, share it with your friends. We'd love a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and, you know, a thumbs up or a share on whatever podcast app you're listening on. But yeah, this has been Tim and Steven. We had a lot of fun, and we hope you had a lot of fun too. But you guys have a whatever wonderful time it is wherever you are, and adios.